up next is the summary speech, 2 minutes from each side. And we're going back to the affirmative side and Ryan Apathy.
Once again, my name is Ryan Apathy. I'm back, and I'd like to go over a few of our points, starting with our economic point, that the rise of China promotes the Chinese, therefore the American economy. Our opponents stated that as one economy emerges victorious in this global economic game, another's, specifically America's, will falter. But this is in fact not true, and not how the economy really works. As one economy emerges, that does not mean another must falter, another must fall. We have such an interconnectedness between the United States and the Chinese government that as the Chinese economy grows, the only benefit that we can see is an economic one. It's not as their economy grows, so will ours. Our second point stated that the growth and the rise of China promotes global commercial conditions, safer in general, and our opponents to that stated that China right now is only focused on their monetary and their economic growth. But the fact of the matter is that while this is not quite the whole picture, the growth of the Chinese government does in fact involve evolution, and it does involve these safer global practices. In fact, the 11th five-year plan that issued by the Chinese government reversed the trend of increasing energy intensity in the last few years. This is, I believe, almost by 15%. These are all great statistics that show their evolution to safer conditions. And thirdly, we stated our most important point, that the rise of China promotes United States and democratic ideals. In fact, efforts right now in China are being made to adopt democratic principles, stronger non-governmental organizations, more independent media organizations. The fact of the matter, as my partner stated, that no country can adopt such fundamental elements of democracy without eventually adopting the whole thing.
Summary speech from the affirmative side. Now to the negative side in this public forum debate. Here's Celia Lubin.
Okay, I'd like to start by addressing our opponent's rebuttals to our 3 points. So in response to our first point about the economic world order, our opponents stated that the U.S. will grow alongside China as it rises. And while this may be somewhat true, we also have to see how we enjoy certain benefits of China's economy as it is now, such as our manufacturing relationship with China. We are feeding China's rise with outsourcing our economy to China with manufacturing jobs and sectors of the like. And so as they grow, we will lose those jobs and those sectors. And subsequently, our economies are not growing at the same speed or rate. In response to our second point, they said that as China rises and becomes more modernized, they will essentially become more like us and more like a democracy, and therefore they can start to fix their environment. And yes, this is true. Officials of China are starting to make some effort, but the scale of this job is daunting even to a full developed country. China is working hard right now to grow to a superpower economically, and so they don't have a whole lot of time or money to commit to the environment, especially something of this big of a scale. The BBC predicts that by 2020, there'll be a 60% increase in Chinese carbon output. And finally, our third point, China is becoming, in response to our third point, that China, the rise of China gives not enough leverage over the U.S. With that, I'd like to stand down.
The summary speeches from either side in the public forum debate. Up next is the Grand Crossfire. And there's also an opportunity for some downtime, but everybody's getting up and moving to the microphones. They're shaking their heads, so we're going straight into the Grand Crossfire here.
Okay.
Leave you off the first question. Go ahead.
Sure. Ms. Pike?
Oh, gee, thanks, Ryan. Okay. So I was wondering, you guys have talked a lot about how China is going to essentially replace the United States. What evidence do you have that China is going to replace the United States and not, say, work in tandem with us?
Well, I believe what we're talking about is sort of a conflict of interest. China really has nothing to gain from cooperating with the United States if, as we stated during, if their rise would afford them economic and social and diplomatic power in the world, then really it's not in their best interest, and it's not really in any sort of interest for China to cooperate with the United States when they could just monopolize over the United States.
But is it in their best interest to go against our ideals? That doesn't seem to make any sense.
I don't believe it would be necessarily with the intent to go against, but I do believe that China, you know, what you have to understand is that China has a completely different ideological worldview. They're based on a Confucian system. They're not based on a decrement. They're nowhere in their history are they based on a democratic system. So the sort of ideas that the Chinese people have are fundamentally different from the ideas that the American people have, and I don't believe you can change that.
But we can see that they are developing more democratic ideals, and that they are working in tandem with the United States. Well, we see on the provincial and municipal level, them holding, you know, free and fair local elections. We see 8 opposition parties to the Chinese Communist Party. We see all of these different things that are leading to a democratic system. How is this not a benefit to the democratic ideals of the United States?
Right, but it's the communist system of authoritarian government of China is not simply going to collapse overnight and become a democracy or a pure democracy of that in any case. So,
yeah, but I mean, while that is true, there is still the growth and there still is the change. And in order to predict a likely outcome in the future, we have to look at the past, and what the past shows is these democratic trends. And that's why, with confidence, my partner and I can say that the growth of China does promote democracy, therefore American ideals.
Do you guys have a question?
Yes, we do. So I actually wanted to ask you about something related to this, actually. So you stated that because China is adopting some democratic ideals, they must eventually adopt the whole thing. However, how does protest within China and provincial elections show anything more than the communist government sort of appeasing social unrest in order to maintain control?
Well, actually, all right, if I might speak about that.
Go
well, we see a rapidly increasing number of this growing middle class in China that we spoke of earlier taking to the streets to protest this higher quality of life, becoming more educated in what?
I would disagree that it's the middle class that's protesting. I believe that the working class and the labor class is protesting in China in large part.
Well, then let's assume that's true, and let's say that there is this if I may finish my sentence, is that allowed? There is this increasing desire to acquire this higher standard of life that the government soon realizes it must obey.
Thank you.
The Grand Crossfire, in a public forum debate that you're listening to on Raven Radio, KCAW, Sitka. These are members of the Sitka High School debate team, and it is we're going to head into the final focus in a minute, but I believe there's also downtime. Stephanie asked DDF coach, what's happening next here?
Well, in a public forum debate, each team is given the opportunity to use 2 minutes of downtime. They can take that 2 minutes kind of wherever they want in the speech, as long as it's not before a crossfire. And what you do typically see most of the time is that the teams will take their downtime right before that final focus speech, because the final focus speech is where you really want to spend your energy to try and boil it all down to a nice end point that kind of puts you in the winning position, hopefully.
And that's where we are now.
That's where we are now. So I believe that the affirmative side is working through their 2 minutes of downtime.
Now, the affirmative side gets 2 minutes, and then once those 2 minutes are done, the negative side could ask for the same technically or not.
What will happen is once the affirmative side is done using their downtime, they will get up and give their final focus speech, and then the negative side will have the opportunity to take their downtime as well.
We talked about this before they all started, before we started into the arguments. There's a lot of preparation. I'm hearing a lot of facts. Your team must spend a lot of time in the library or doing a lot of research.
Yes, they do spend a lot of time researching and sharing research, which is really a cool thing to watch, too. It's always really funny at this point when we're watching our teams debate each other, because I've watched them, like, help each other prepare for so long. It's really interesting to see them kind of pitted up against each other for a debate. But that's also the process that we go through in preparation, too, is just debating through the topic and thinking through where it'll go by mock debates against each other.
And the topics are always tied to something that's not necessarily in the news in the immediate moment, but a relevant issue for say the year or several years that we're in. I mean, there's a lot of relevance, of course, to China's economic power, but how immediate are the topics?
Well, they're chosen by the National Forensics League at the national level, they do tend to pull them from the news and from what's happening currently. So they do tend to be pretty on point with what's in the news and happening right now.
Cool. Downtime is over. And here is the final focus speech by the affirmative side.
Our judges and timer ready? Alrighty, then I will begin. When a nation with an economy intrinsically and intimately intertwined with ours develops safer commercial practices and becomes more democratic and transparent, where do we not see an obvious substantial benefit? Our opponents spoke of how China wouldn't benefit from cooperation with the United States, but we are indeed economic partners and partners in the world. In debate, we must cooperate with our partners in order to succeed. We can't compete with our partners or our buddies, our friends. And China and the United States are indeed partners, buddies, and friends, in fact. What we see is our economies are intimately intertwined. As one rises, the other rises. Our opponents actually spoke in their opening speeches about how prices in China affect prices in the United States. And as prices in China get better and better, so do prices in the United States. As our imports and exports with them increase, so will theirs to us. What we see is that as China becomes more democratic at a local level, as more and more of the middle class or labor class, if my opponents are to be believed, become more desirous, more wanting of this democracy, the government is going to give it to them. And we are going to see that they are not going to have leverage over the United States, and the economic world order is not going to shift out of our favor. Instead, China is going to become more democratic, still Chinese, still Confucian, but more democratic, more willing to cooperate with the United States to benefit themselves and to benefit us. Their safer practices will, in fact, benefit the environment. They have laws in place, acts in place to help protect the environment, to help protect their economic benefits with us, or their economic ties, and to help benefit their own people, to help promote democracy, and to help us. So, to conclude, the rise of China does benefit the interests of the United States. Thank you.
All right. That was the final focus speech by the affirmative side. We'll look to the negative side and see if they're going to request some downtime. And I see them nodding, so yes, they are. Let's talk a little more, Stephanie, while this downtime happens, about what's coming up next. You guys are off to Anchorage.
Yes, we hop on a plane on Wednesday night and fly into Anchorage. Thursday afternoon, we actually begin the state competition. And that runs Thursday afternoon, all day Friday, all day Saturday. And Saturday night, we should know where we're at.
What's that like? Is it how does that feel different than a regular meet that you might go to in Haines or Ketchikan?
They're very similar in terms of we certainly kind of know what to expect in terms of events, but it's amazing to see just kind of when you add the rest of the state in, what that does to the level of competition. We have debated the same debate teams in Southeast again and again. We're very, very familiar with them. And there's a certain degree, I think, of expectation about the kind of arguments you're going to hear, the kind of debates you're going to have, because our kids know, those other debaters pretty well at this point. But when we head to the state level, suddenly we're debating against Anchorage and Whitestone and, schools from all over the place. And they are definitely bringing something different to the table.
All right. We're coming down to the, we've got a little more time left in the downtime here. If you're just joining us, you're listening to a public forum debate on Raven Radio, KCAW, Sitka. These are members of the Sitka High School DDF team who are off to Anchorage at the end of the week here, actually Wednesday night, mm-hmm. up in the air and up north for the state tournament, what would we call it? State tournament? Is that the word I want to use? State competition, state?
Yeah, I kind of use state tournament and state competition interchangeably.
At the end of a very long season. Your season starts in August.
It does. We start at the very beginning of the school year and we go all the way till mid-February. Longest season for any sport or activity that you'll see in the high school for sure.
All right. So today we've heard them debating a resolution on whether the resolution states that the rise of China is beneficial
to the interests of the United States.
All right, so here is the final focus speech now from the negative side and Anne Marie Pike.
Thank you. Judge and timer ready? Thank you. What this debate comes down to, we think, is what the interests and actions of China in the past and today show us about the future of the country and how that would directly benefit or not benefit us as a country. And as my partner and I have maintained throughout this debate, China is not, and it's important to understand that China is not, a country onto which we can project our own ideals and our opponent's idea that we can somehow influence the ideas and desires or the democratic desires, as they may be, of the Chinese people simply by investing in their economy is unsubstantiated. There's simply no reason to believe that we can hope to change the Chinese people. And as they stated, the protests that we see in China do not reflect anything more than the working labor class wanting a better standard of life. That is somewhat of a democratic idea, but that does not mean that China is going to adopt or develop democracy. And as we can see, the ruling Communist Party in China is extraordinarily powerful, and so this is simply not likely to happen anytime within a reasonable time frame of, I would say, at least 50 years. And so that does not represent a direct benefit to the U.S. if we have to wait 50 years for any sort of revolution to happen, which would cause a political and economic collapse, which would, I would argue, be very detrimental to the United States. And also, it also disregards the political history of China, which has been based for hundreds of years on a Confucian ideological system, which is very different, extraordinarily different from a Western way of thinking. So we must be very careful not to project our own ideas upon the Chinese people. And also, our second point, my partner and I have stated that China also represents a distinct environmental threat. And its current policies and practices have shown that China completely disregards the impact of its rapid industrialization and economic growth on the environment of not just China, but the surrounding countries. As we stated, mercury and lead land on the U.S. West Coast every year from China. And so if that's already taking place, what sort of impact, politically, environmentally, and otherwise, is China going to have with this rise? One that's good for us or one that's bad? Thank you. With that, I'd like to stand down.
All right. That was the final focus speech from the negative side in a public forum debate. A big round of applause happening outside the studio and inside the studio. Bravo. The team A for the affirmative, Ryan Apathy and Kaya Pike. Team B, Celia Lubin and Anne Marie Pike. We are not done yet. We've got about 13 minutes left in the hour. The judges are out there. John Stein, Sarah Bell, and Robert Woolsey tallying the scores. We're going to take a quick break and then come back and maybe hear from the judges about what they heard tonight and just wrap this thing up. You're listening to Raven Radio. Stick around. We've got a lot more coming. You're listening to a live public forum debate on Raven Radio, KCAW, Sitka. Good evening. I'm Ed Ronco, and I'm in the studio. The debate has concluded. We are about 8 minutes before the top of the hour, and in the studio with me are the judges for tonight's debate, Sarah Bell, John Stein, and Robert Woolsey. And I am going to begin just over here with Robert and ask you. Sarah pointed right at the last minute, so you get to go first, Robert.
She went right by my face, too, I noticed.
You've been listening to this debate on whether, on balance, the rise of China is beneficial to the United States, to the interests of the United States. What did you hear tonight, Robert Woolsey?
I heard what I feel are some of the best debaters in the state discussing and challenging each other on a topic that has no easy answer. There is no simple answer to this, and I think it's an incredibly devious resolution, particularly the words on balance, because that suggests to me kind of a scale, and the debate is about kind of pushing. It's like a tug of war. It's like sort of pushing your people just ever so slightly into the mud and keeping yourself out.
After that, I need to change my ballot. He just described it for me.
John Stein, what did you hear?
Well, I the arguments were terrific. I mean, I think they really focused on the elements that are important between the two countries. And what I think I saw is there's this continuum. I mean, they talked about the pace of transition politically, and they talked about the terrible environmental things. In fact, we saw news not too long ago about, you know, smog-filled Beijing and that kind of thing. And you know, each country or each industrial nation, I think, has moved through those processes. And so being an optimist, I sort of glom onto the positive views. And I think the strong arguments from the positive side was that there is a positive economic future coming on this thing, and there is rising democracy and that kind of thing, and that the environmental problems are being recognized. On the other hand, it's bewildering to see the mess that China has got itself in. So the Khan team, I think, made some really good points on where we are at this instant.
All right. Sarah Bell, to you now. What's your evaluation?
Well, so am I supposed to – I don't Wait, have to say how I voted yet.
We'll do that in a second. Overall impressions?
Well, I think there were some really I thought that there was a lot of good evidence that was offered to be persuasive. And when a debate sort of becomes just, well, we all know that. That's sometimes I heard a little bit of that, and I'm thinking, well, no, I don't necessarily know that unless you can provide me with some persuasive evidence. And it's hard not to bring your own preconceived notions. And it's also, I'm sitting there going, yeah, but what about Europe? What about South America? I mean, you know, so you have to kind of leave those things out. And I think that's what can make it such a struggle, because they obviously all had good, strong points to make. So, you know, it makes the choice very difficult.
All right. So the moment of truth here. What do the ballots say? Sarah Bell, what's who?
You know,
you
I didn't
to?
Want to vote this way, but I did. I voted for the con.
All right, John Stein.
I'm a pro guy. Yeah, I think the pros had it by an edge.
All right, and Robert Woolsey.
I also voted affirmative.
All right, now Coach Stephanie Ask here. We'll kind of share a microphone. I want to ask you, what happens in that situation? Is it majority rule?
It is, yeah. Typically what you'll see in the early rounds of debate is that you only have one judge, so their you know, kind of claim on who wins is what goes. But especially once we get to finals, you'll have a panel of judges, and it's the majority vote that wins on that one.
All right. Let's bring some of the team in if we can. They're lurking outside the studio door here, and I just want to ask them real quickly. Maybe we could have you move up to the yellow microphone there, somebody. I heard so much research in today's presentation. Can somebody take me through the process? Who's comfortable doing that? Ryan Apathy, you're standing right in front of the microphone, so I'll call on you. But
that obviously means I'm the most comfortable. The process is pretty daunting. Say it would start with getting the topic, and then especially on the research side, we would all get together and talk about what we already know, see what some background research we need to establish, get some background knowledge, and then figure out what points we want to talk about basically as a team. And then each team can say a little bit more about what those things that they want. But for the most part, we our 3 points for each side are very similar.
And then, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. And then it's just all what can we learn to support this side? What in our background research have we found that supports this argument or just this, you know, specific thing?
Yeah.
It's all very, very complex.
And Kaya Pike, you're researching both sides of this. The whole team is.
Yes.
And how long before you go in to make your arguments do you know what side you're arguing?
It depends on how long the judge is in the room. We do a coin toss when both teams get to the room. One calls heads, one calls tails, and then that's how much time we have to prep, however long it takes for the judge to get to the room or for the debate to actually start.
So what's that like?
It's a little nerve-wracking, especially if you win the coin toss, because we get to choose whether we speak first or second or whether we're pro or con.
Yeah.
And so if we win the coin toss, it's very hard sometimes to determine whether or not we want to choose first or second or pro or con. And if we lose, then we're left with kind of the short end of the straw. We have to decide which other thing we want to do.
Anne-Marie and Celia, I want to bring you in on this conversation too. And I want to ask specifically, what's it like when you have to get up there and argue something that you don't personally believe, but you have to do it with enough force that you're convincing a judge?
Well, Anne-Marie and I were just talking about that. And it's like we've done all this research and we researched both sides extensively. And we kind of, whatever side you're put on, you find yourself really believing in that side. And I have no idea which side of this debate I really believe in.
Anne-Marie, same question to you. What's it like to get up there and find yourself on the side you disagree with? Personally,
I think what I've learned from the debate is that it leaves you really confused, because the more you research a particular side, the more you agree with that side, and then you go research the other side, and you're like, well, that makes sense too, and then you're sort of, I don't think personally for me, personal conviction has a lot to do with it, but I guess that's a good thing that I'm confused, because otherwise I would have a personal conviction, and that was sort of conflict.
You're all able to take that step back, and I see lots of nodding going on. So yeah, cool. Okay, well, thank you so much for being here, Anne-Marie, Celia, Kaya, Ryan. Good luck in Anchorage, and to our judges, Sarah Bell, John Stein, Robert Woolsey. Thank you for being here and doing this. The DDF coaches are Stephanie Ask, who's in studio with us, Cassidy Patno, who provided timing tonight. Thank you, Cassidy. And Eve Arp. This has been a lot of fun, and I've learned a lot, not just about China, but about preparing an argument, and I don't want to find myself on the other side of an argument with any of you.